And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Yes, happy hump day to you, too. And Wendy Wilson, she'll be joining us here in just a few moments. We've got some pretty interesting numbers to go through in the world of finance. And we're going to start with gold. And I know a lot of you are going to say, well, the stock market dropped today, so why did gold do so bad? And again, it's just not always knee-jerk reactions to everything. You have these days and you have a lot of money going into the treasuries. It's an easy way to move a lot of money. And we've seen a little bit of a stronger dollar. And that's why we've seen a little bit of pressure on gold and silver. The fundamentals are still there. They haven't changed. And I'm sure we'll see a reversal. Who knows what's going to follow through with this week. So, with that said, gold today was down $30.60 in the New York spot price aftermarket at $1,878. Silver's down 97 cents. It came back a lot. So did gold. Silver's $2,347. Platinum was down $10 at $874. Palladium was down 94 at $2,271. The USDX today was up by 33.33 at 93.43. I mean, it's still a pretty low number for the index, but it was still stronger. Crude oil took a beating, 2.21, down $2.21 at $37.36. But the paper markets is what shows the most interesting. You have the Dow down 823 points, 3%, 26,639. The NASDAQ was down 3.75%, 426 points, 11,004. S&P was down 3.5%, 119 points, 3,271. The 10-year yield held at 0.78%. The European and Asian markets, Germany got whacked last night. It was down a little over 4%. London was down over 2.5%. Hong Kong and Asia, I mean, Asian markets were just kind of mellow. Japan was only down a few points. Hong Kong was only down a few points. So nothing there. But London, and of course, that is all related to the beginnings of new lockdowns in Europe. So markets didn't like it. And are they going to ignore the pandemic anymore? I don't know. We've had, you know, a few days on a downslide. And by all rights, it should never be this high anyway. But we'll talk a little bit about this when we come back from the first break of the program, because we have Wendy Wilson joining us now, and she's got a lot to tell us today, don't you, Wendy? Good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Afternoon, Melly. Hello, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought we'd talk about an herb that you may want to add to your regimen, especially for eye health today. Because we got a lot of problems, you know, we do. The United States has a problem with things like macular degeneration. 11 million people in the U.S. have that. So in 2012, this was a Stanford Burnham Medical Research Institute report. And what they found, they're going back to the ancient records to find new stuff. That's what they're doing. Isn't that great? So they've gone back and they're looking for benefits in ancient records to see what they could find for eye ailments. And one herb in particular stood out to them, and they found it was an excellent resource for macular degeneration. So the herb is rosemary. You know, you probably
rosemary.
Have some. Yeah, you probably have some right now in your pantry.
Mm-hmm, sure
so,
do.
So specifically, the rosemary, they say, contains carmesic acid compound. And they said that protects the retina from degeneration and toxicity of the cells. So it prevents, you know, it's kind of like a preservative, you know, of the eye. So what science is discovering is that herbs can help with eye health, and they contain a lot of nutrition, and it seems to renew the eye with a lot of antioxidant, and it also reduces inflammation of the eye. So this research did get published in the November 2012 Journal of Investigative Ophthalmology and Visual Science. Now, the research did state when eyes degenerate, they become more toxic. The cells become more toxic. Actually, it's more like death or death of the cells, you know, necrosis of the cells. So the medical property or the medicinal properties in your herbs, sort of like rosemary here, help prevent that breakdown. And the acid that the rosemary offered has a lot of antioxidant enzymes in it, and the eyes just love it. So this lowers the oxidized stress on your eye, on your cells, helps deliver more oxygen to the eye, which is really imperative because the blood oxygen-rich source delivery to the eye is the breadth of a human hair. That's how fine it is. Oh. And so... And it's real important. I learned this from Dr. Banker's group out in Boulder, Colorado. They had this whole thing on eye health and a home study course if you wanted to take it. They said that you want to avoid things that will constrict the delivery of the oxygen-rich blood supply since it's so fragile. And one of the things that really can hinder it is tobacco use. And caffeine, like the black tea, it has a lot of uric acids in it. So they want you to stay away from all those acidy type caffeine beverages because it really constricts the delivery of the blood flow to your eye.
Hmm.
I know I'm a big tea fan, and I'm like, man.
Yeah, I was just going to say, isn't that supposed to be healthy for you?
Like green tea has a lot of antioxidants, but... if you already have eye issues, they're finding it's just compounding the eye problem, so you can't have any. You can have herb teas without any caffeine. So what they found with the cosmos musk acid in rosemary, it provided protection from light damage in the retina, also protected photoreceptors of the eye. Then these photoreceptors, what they do is they convert light signals to electrical signals or impulses into your brain, and it also increase your visual perception. So this is what Dr. Lipton, director of the Neuroscience Stem Cell Research Center there at Stanford, says. We're now developing improved derivatives of carmosic acid and related compounds found in rosemary to protect the retina and other brain areas from a number of degenerative conditions. So they want to make a drug, you know. They want to make a drug. But a lot of studies on the properties of your herbs for eye health, the Rutgers University in New Jersey also discovered rosemary is a food preservative as well as an eye preservative. They said rosemary was used by the ancients to, you know, preserve their meats and stuff. But there's also a patent on it in 1987 for its antioxidant compound preservative effect. And they call it rosmarophenol.
Wow.
And so what they do with the rosmarophenol is they use it as a preservative for cosmetics, perfumes, insect repellent, even the plastic packaging inside your you know, processed foods, your cereals and stuff. Now, the ancient world always used rosemary to preserve not only meats, but they used it to preserve wine. And food spoils, especially meat, so... because of the fat content, when it oxidizes, it becomes rancid. So rosemary is potent enough to prevent the oxidization process. So scientists even compared rosemary preservative effect to chemical food preservatives like your BHA and BHT, and it worked better than that. So you can mix rosemary with like hamburger meat, tuna pastas, potato salads. It'll be fresher longer, they're saying.
What?
Yep. And it contains an antimicrobial compound. Rosemary can kind of cuts down on the bacteria, the microorganisms that can grow in your food. So this is why ancients would rub crushed rosemary or use rosemary oil on your cuts if you cut your finger, because it was like their ancient neurosporin. Does that make a sense? It's like an herbal neurosporin.
Mm-hmm.
I hear Ruby.
Ruby agrees with you.
Yeah. Well, also rosemary herb, long history, dating back, get this, to 500 BC. The Greeks, the Romans used rosemary, of course, for cooking and for medicines. And when we start with rosemary's name, we learn it's Latin, which means dew of the sea, because it was cultivated near the Mediterranean, near the water. So rosemary has this reputation with a lot of ancient cultures for improving and strengthening memory. And this would explain why Greek students wore garlands made of rosemary around their heads when they went to their exams. So I'll probably have to get one of them wreaths. What do you think?
Could have used that in college.
Yeah. Well, rosemary also attracts bees and butterflies. So ancient beekeepers would plant lots of rosemary around. If they didn't have rosemary, they'd get the cousin of rosemary called hyssop, and they would grow it nearby to attract their bees. I thought that was neat. Oh. So long before refrigeration, rosemary was, you know, the saving grace with its natural oil compounds in it for as a meat preservative. So the ancestors would actually take large sections of meat and wrap it in crushed rosemary leaf, and the crushed leaf, the bruised leaf, released the oils and preserved the meats from spoiling. So it gave the meat a distinct fragrant taste as well. You hear a lot about, you know, ginkgo for improving memory. So whenever you think ginkgo, think rosemary with it, because it will improve memory. And the reason it does that is rosemary has this wonderful extra boost of circulation to help get ginkgo to your brain area, and so you'll have improved memory there. So it provides this rich source of vitamin B6 and iron and calcium. And the reason it helps with the rosemary, though, it does improve circulation, getting past that blood-brain barrier, and you get better results from your ginkgo for improved memory. So think about that when you want to remember where you put your car keys. Now, there was also a study by a psychologist at North Thrumba University in Newcastle, UK, who said rosemary improves memory by 75%, according to their studies. It has a lot of antioxidants, protects the brain cells from an oxidative stress, and even the German E-Commission, which is the equivalent of our FDA, recommends that pregnant women should avoid large amounts of rosemary oil, and also people with kidney damage should also. So I guess the oils can irritate the kidneys, so be aware of that. So our ancestors used rosemary for various ailments, various things. They also found writings. They used it for respiratory, gastrointestinal disorders. Those were kind of the primary uses. Now, the Chinese would use rosemary with ginger root for headaches, indigestion, insomnia, and malaria. The British, they actually brought rosemary to the Americas, and the American colonists were using it. They added it also to the American dispensary. And the French, they hung bunches of rosemary in homes where there were sickness, because they said it cleansed the air. And then hospitals during World War II picked up on that and added juniper berries to the rosemary, and they would burn them as like an incense to cleanse the air of germs. Early naturopaths would also use rosemary. It was listed in the King's Dispensary in 1898. Primary reason it was there, because it improves digestion, menstruation, and it was used as a perfume. So a lot of folk healers in Central America would use it to repel insects and promote healthy menstruation too. So you've got the ancients tapping into it, and so we can utilize that. And used externally, they put it in relaxation balms these days for muscle aches. You can, you know, rub it on your temples for headaches and stuff like that. So the herbalists, though, today primarily use rosemary for digestive reasons and, of course, for a circulatory boost, like we were mentioning for ginkgo. So now the FDA has approved rosemary. It's on their safe list. It's good for all digestive problems, according to the German E-Commission. It does kill unwanted microbes in the digestive tract, but is protective of good healthy flora, so it won't disrupt your good healthy flora like an antibiotic would. You know, it's not discerning. So you want to be aware, though, with rosemary oil, if you're going to use rosemary oil, if you take it internally, it, you know, like the medicinal, and the doses are too large, it can cause stomach upset, can irritate your kidneys, and cause irritation in the digestive tract. So you want to, you know, use sparingly, and you should follow your product guidelines, of course. Extreme doses of rosemary oil can be poisonous to some people. The FDA uses rosemary, has it on their safe list, but they really warn pregnant women to avoid it. It can stimulate nerve endings in the uterine muscle, so they don't want them to have a miscarriage. So pregnant women need to stay away from it, okay? Mm. So obviously, you know, you got some things that you could use it for, but you just got to be smart.
Always amazes me how all these natural herbs and have so much power behind them and can be used for so many things.
Yeah, they're pretty versatile.
Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing. It's just not one particular item. It's fascinating.
I know, like, you can combine certain herbs together and they magnify one another. They call it a synergistic effect. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, if you wanted to magnify immune support herbs like echinacea, you can pair it with ginseng. Okay? Because ginseng gives the cell stamina on a cellular level. They used to give it a lot in the turn of the century to people on a long convalescence because, you know, they needed stamina to get better. They felt a bit weak and peaked. They were given ginseng. If you add astragalus root to ginseng, to echinacea, and you just get this synergistic effect as well. I look at it kind of like this. You know how you have your closet and you got a bunch of separates and you can mix and match your clothes? I kind of do that with herbs, you know? I kind of pair them together for certain things. Like, for instance, if you want to stop a vomiting bug, you know, kids sometimes get those vomiting viruses. I use peppermint, ginger, and fennel. And I use them all together at the same time and it stops the vomiting virus quickly. Mm. So it's amazing what you can do with certain things. Sometimes, you know, if peppermint's not enough to stop a stomach ache, we'll go to the next one up. We'll go to gentian root. Gentian root will stop us. It's a bit bitter, but it does stop the pain. So sometimes you need more power.
Where do all the herbs come from? Where do you get them?
We get only cultivated herbs in the United States. We don't import anything. And a lot of herbs that used to be imported are now being cultivated here. I'm kind of picky about till standard organic standards on herbs. So that means the land rested, they didn't use chemicals and fertilizers, so that it's a kind of what we call a clean crop. More expensive, basically 3 times more expensive for that kind of crop, but it's just healthier for you.
Give us your contact info, Wendy.
Oh, sure. Thepowerherbs.com is the web address. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663. And we do have Brain Concentrate with your ginkgo and rosemary in it, if you want to use that. 866-229-3663. Have a lovely evening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Wendy. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back right after this short break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TruthAndEducationRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Take advantage of the pullback. Save some money. Premiums are coming down. Product is available. What a world. Get it while you can. In case you forgot how it was in March, April, and May, and even into June and July, it was a little tough to get product, and there was a long line of delays and getting some product in and so forth, and your selection was very limited. And I do expect to see that again. It will happen again, and there will be a lot of, you won't get what you want. So get what you want now, pay a lower premium for it, and you can sit back and enjoy the ride, because it's a ride it's going to be. And I think it's a ride that not too many people will enjoy unless they're protected, because it's going to affect each and every one of us, no matter how well we have preserved our purchasing power, because most people out there haven't preserved their purchasing power by 100%. So there will be pain. And for those of you who did preserve your purchasing power by 100%, well, good for you. And you will be able to sit back and, you know, what bothers me more than anything, Dave, this is one time. I mean, everybody once in a while likes to say, or think it anyway, I told you so. But this is one time when we will not get any pleasure out of that whatsoever. And over the years, I can't tell you how many times folks had said to me, Melody, I wish I had listened to you. I wish I had listened to you. Well, you called me and you're doing things now, so it's okay. You know, we'll make your portfolio a little bit better than what it is now. We'll clean it up, and some of the things that you might have, you know, got talked into and so forth, and we'll repurpose your portfolio of gold and silver, and so you don't have to wait for prices to go so high before you can benefit from that. The one thing I can say about the online sellers, you know, they made pricing in gold and silver a little more competitive, but they're so iffy, you know, because you don't know. Like I quoted someone today, you know, I'm trying to match prices with them, but I go to the website and they were actually 10 cents higher than, you know, what was being quoted and everything. And it was just, you know, people, and you don't know, I mean, markets change so quickly, so you don't know when they talk to somebody else to get a competitive price. So we will match competitive, we will match pricing out there if it's a legitimate price. And so always give us a call at 800-375-4188. Then the TV folks, they go the opposite direction. You know, their prices are so sky high.
the retail sellers on TV.
Mm-hmm. The retail sellers of gold and silver on television, on the cable networks and everything. Oh my gosh!
I couldn't sleep one night. Not too long ago. It might have even been last weekend. In fact, it was Friday night. And I wish I could remember what channel. I was just surfing. One of the rare times I didn't have anything that I had recorded to watch. And I came across one of the, it was like a QVC, Home Shopping Network, mm-hmm. show. There's a fellow on there selling coins. And I was fascinated by his pricing scheme. Mm-hmm. Which, as you mentioned, these don't sound like the prices we're offering these days. So I watched it for about 20 minutes, and then it was on. But, I mean, this must have been at like 1:30, 2 in the morning, and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that's a good time to be
buying your gold and silver.
Anything.
That's true, anything.
When, you're not necessarily fully with it.
But, very high, and all your, even during the earlier programs that you see the commercials during the day on CNBC and on Fox and all the other networks throughout the day, it's just, they are truly sky high, and you're probably paying, you know, I've seen portfolios valued out at, you know, like my one friend, and I know he's listening, and, he says it's okay to share his story, because it does help other people not to do it. And so I thank you for allowing me to share it. But, you know, where you had one portfolio going into an IRA priced at $200,000, and when he got the first statement, it was only $100,000. And, you know, they sell them as commemorative coins, silver rounds, and they're just silver rounds. And, it's hard to fight these guys. Most people don't have, you know, 100 grand laying around to get an attorney to fight it, because that's what you need, is an attorney. And it'll cost you $100,000, probably more than that now. And over the years, I've known a couple people who did fight it, and they won. Both of them won. One, I believe, was in the 90s. I think it was... I shouldn't say the name of the country. I know who it was, but I'm not going to say it. And then it cost him $100,000 in the 90s. So he got his money back, and he got his attorney fees reimbursed. So, but it took him like 2 years.
Let me ask you something else before we get to some news. I was talking to a family member last evening, and she and her husband have an IRA, a pretty decent amount, all in stocks and bonds. They've got a chunk of cash now, about $50,000, and I was trying to talk them, and I think I have talked them into buying gold and silver, or gold or silver. With that cash, but then all of a sudden they were leaning toward a gold ETF, and I said, "Nah, don't go that route. Go the physical route where you have the coins." And you know, they asked, "Well, don't I have to withdraw that cash then from my IRA with the possible penalty, because they're not of the age yet?" And I said, "Well, no, you can roll that over into a precious metal IRA and not have any penalty." But they still, I mean, if they decide to go that route, they're still going to buy the physical gold from Discount Gold and Silver Trading or another gold retailer, correct?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, it is physical gold. In ETF, you get what? Is it 3% or 10%? Supposedly that it's backed, so you're not even, you don't even own gold.
You only own the
promise of gold, you know, and that's the problem with ETFs. ETFs, to my knowledge, have never been audited, so who in the heck knows how much gold they really have? Just like how much gold is in Fort Knox. Well, no, it hasn't been audited since the 50s. No one's peeked in there since the 50s. So yeah, and that's the problem with ETFs. It's paper. Same way with miners, gold miners. It's paper. You're not buying gold. ETFs, you're not buying gold. And a lot of problems can happen with the ETFs. And I'm a firm believer that ETFs was a product to help control the price of gold.
Yeah, we see more and more now with price manipulation.
And in addition to, it gave brokers, financial planners, a product to sell, because they couldn't compete. You know, before ETFs, gold ETFs were created, What gold did people have to buy? Physical gold. Mining shares. Brokers, financial planners couldn't sell the physical gold. So they I believe the ETFs program was created for something that for them to sell. They can control people's money. You don't have people pulling their money out to go get gold on their own. So it was all about controlling people's wealth. And so what they'll give you now is, you can get 5%. 5%, yeah. We'll get you 5% of ETFs, gold ETFs. Keep the rest in the market because that way you'll be able to, you know, take advantage of any gains in the market. It's such an injustice, disservice to these people and their customers.
Yeah.
And I get it because everybody's out to make money. They have bosses that they have to keep happy. They're told what most financial planners are told what to sell from the higher ups. This is how we're going to market this. This is what we're about. This is what we're going to market. And this is, you know, how they brand them. And so I get it. But it's not, and that's what they do. They're there to make money. But people need to start controlling their own money and making their own decisions on what happens. And does it make sense? You know, when there's really a big, you know, rush to sell assets, you know, we've seen a couple days, we're going to talk about now, people forget what it's, people, I'm not going to say people, meaning other people and not me, we all have short memories. Even back to March and April. And that was nothing like it was in 2008, 9, and 10. That was a drop in the bucket compared to what we went through in 8, 9, and 10. 8, 9, and 10, there was real panic. And not so much this time around. So when there is real panic this time around, there won't be any product left for you to buy. None. And yeah, you're going to have wholesalers, not retailers, but wholesalers, who are going to jerk the markets around.
Ugh.
You know? And it's, but it's business. But, you know, we talked about the big drops in the markets, and just briefly, we have Chancellor Angela Merkel. She's going to impose the toughest restrictions on Germany since the national lockdown back in spring. They're going to close bars and restaurants in Europe's largest economy, trying to regain control of the spread of the virus. The one-month partial shutdown is going to go into effect on Monday. It is designed to keep most businesses operating, she said today. And this is with, you know, talks with the leaders of the country's 16 states. Officials are going to gather again in 2 weeks to assess the impact of the measures. Merkel said today is a difficult day for policymakers as well, as she called for a concerted national effort to fight the pandemic. We know what we're demanding of the people. No, I don't think they do, but with the public weary of pandemic measures and protests increasing, the government sought to ease pressure by making up to 10 billion euros, which is about 11 billion, in aid for companies that will be affected by these measures, and including reimbursing as much of 75%. Now that's incredible. Not only are they going to have 11 billion in aid, but it includes reimbursing as much as 75% of lost sales for November. So I think that's kind of staggering. I mean, that's, I don't know if 11 billion is the cap in aid and it includes that. So I don't know how they could, I'm sure they would go beyond the 11 billion if it's 75% of lost sales. That's a lot, I think. But so again, this is the impact that we saw in today's markets. The Germany's DAX fell about 4.5%. The Stoxx Europe 600 sank about 3%. Auto construction shares showed the steepest declines. And, of course, treasuries rose. And that's what's going to happen. And that's why we saw a stronger dollar today. But, and with that, it stumbles down and comes into the U.S. And, you know, perhaps it is beginning to stunt the confidence in our country. There are a new crop of reports today that shows the overall economic sentiment declined for the first time in 2 months. Now, this is according to the Economic Sentiment Index. So, here's a sign that shows further declines in sentiment. And over the course of three readings during the summer surge of COVID cases in June, July, economic sentiment dropped 5.1 points. So it does have an impact. Doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you think. It has an impact on the sentiment. And when we're in a consumer economy, the U.S. Index of Consumer Sentiment, which tallies a collection of daily surveys from analytics from Morning Consult, these confidence, essentially, it is unchanged from the prior week. So it didn't go up, it didn't go down, it just stayed the same. You know, so we're kind of in limbo, probably, because the election, Dave, I would think.
Uncertainty abounds. But the key here is that economic growth in the U.S. is slowly but surely grinding to a halt as the month closes. John Lear, who's a Morning Consult economist, said if the economy were gaining momentum, a strengthening job market would support consumption growth. But Morning Consult's data show persistently weak demand, at least over the next month. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about tomorrow's anticipated GDP numbers, but still an underlying weakened economy. You know, a plateau of consumer confidence is generally uneventful when the economy is motoring along, but during a downturn like now, it can signal larger problems. If household personal finances are already weak, and without additional improvements, consumption is poised to contract further in the coming months. And that, I suppose, is going to be regardless of who wins and loses next week, Melody.
Hey, I hear the music. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival. Thank you for joining us today.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. And orders, there's some good news. Factory goods increased orders. Orders for long-lasting factory goods increased for the fifth consecutive month in September. That's leading some to call the rise the latest sign manufacturing companies are rebounding from supply chain disruptions and shutdowns. My bike's in too. I got a call this week. So this is an accurate report.
Just in time for snow cover.
I know. Reminds me, I got a call. I'm at, I don't know if they're going to deliver it. I don't know if they deliver during this COVID thing. But
better after all these.
I know, they better.
Months.
So, yes, I got my bike in. So I hurry up stimulus so I can pay for the rest of it. Anyway. Anyway, that's calling to call the rise of the latest manufacturing companies, as I said, rebounding from the supply chain disruptions and shutdown, new orders for durable goods. Now, durable goods are products that are designed to last at least 3 years. Well, that rose 1.9% in September compared with August. And this is a closely watched proxy for business investment. So new orders for non-defense capital goods, excluding aircraft, well, that increased 1% last month, Dave.
Well, the measure had actually recovered all of its pandemic-related losses by August. And that suggests that the related businesses, anyway, have ramped up capacity in anticipating of growing demand, which some other reports that we just mentioned show that perhaps that demand is not going to be coming anytime soon, at least at that level. Paul Ashworth, who's chief economist at Capital Economics, says the economic recovery isn't entirely dependent on consumers, with business equipment investment recording a swift bounce back to pre-pandemic levels. Nevertheless, 70% of GDP is dependent on consumers. So while this B2B business may be doing well, at least in as far as this report goes, consumer expectations matter, and with them dimming along with the labor market right now, going to be a challenge out there, but we'll see what happens as we head into the imminent holiday shopping season, especially with infections now on the rise in virtually every state. But that was yesterday and today. Who knows what tomorrow brings, right?
Who knows? Well, you know, the trade deficit, merchandise, it unexpectedly narrowed in September. The deficit shrank to $79.4 billion from $83.1 billion in August. Now, this is all coming from the Commerce Department. The figure was narrower than all estimates in a survey of economists. And, you know, these economists, you know, they never say who they are. It's like, who are they? And they're always wrong. So I don't even know why, you know, all these reports always say everybody was expecting. But figure was narrower than all estimates in a survey of economists that had called for an $84.5 billion shortfall. Imports fell by 0.2%. Exports increased 2.7%. even the smaller gap, the final good traits report before next Tuesday's elections indicates that President Trump's push to better balance the U.S. trade relationship with the world kind of remains, not what we had hoped. Exports have increased for four straight months, though still remain well below the pre-pandemic levels. And it's interesting, everything's going to be compared to the pre-pandemic levels. Even those pre-pandemic levels, we were heading into a recession. So they weren't the top of the numbers, but retail inventories in today's report showed a rise of 1.6% from the prior month, and that's the most since March of 2011. Wholesale inventories decreased by 0.1%. Dave, can you go ahead and take that? I just need to take this quick call real quick. I'll be just a few seconds.
Oh, absolutely. Well, imports of consumer goods decreased 4% during the month. That pulled back from a record level following four straight months of relatively strong gains. The export gain was led by about a 14% surge in shipments of food, feeds, and beverages, which rose to almost $13 billion, the most since March of 2014. U.S. shipped roughly $1.9 billion of soybeans to China last month. That was the largest export by value in September to that country. China's been a target of the U.S. Trade war that's seen hundreds of billions of dollars of tariffs on imports. Partial trade agreement signed in January was supposed to result in China buying an additional $200 billion in exports over a two-year period. While China's unlikely to reach that target this year, it has made record purchases of American beef and corn and has reiterated its commitment to the agreement. Now, the trade picture is going to come into greater focus when the final report, which includes services, is released a week from today. Now, including services, the total value of U.S. exports and imports was about $411 billion in August. Excuse me, again, still below pre-pandemic levels as the world is still digging out.
Hmm. Well, thank you for doing that, Dave.
Oh, my pleasure.
You know, I was shocked to see this number this morning, Boeing, which they had already announced and already shed 16,000 jobs, and now they're going to cut more, up to 7,000. I mean, those are incredible numbers. Boeing's third quarter results, which were better than Wall Street had estimated, they're still struggling. The plane maker is looking to further cut costs as it grapples with the prolonged impact of this pandemic. Their net loss of $466 million in the third quarter from a profit of $1.2 billion just 1 year ago.
Mm.
Amazing. A $1.2 billion profit. That's what's amazing. Wow. And, of course, that was on sales of $14.1 billion, down 29% from a year ago, but slightly ahead. But a lot of that was their own problem with the MAX, I believe. I mean, I don't know how much the pandemic, I don't know how much this is in relationship to that, to the issues. What was the MAX? 737 MAX. I don't know how their losses are related to that. So
a chunk, but they're a significant chunk, and a majority of their issues stem from the cancellation of orders during the pandemic, flying being down in general substantially, which lengthens the life of existing planes. So it's interesting. Boeing has a substantial plant in Southern Delaware County, sort of adjacent to the Philadelphia International Airport, and back in the 90s and 2000s, you always saw there's a giant parking lot that just almost abuts Interstate 95 northbound. You'd always see that full of cars from people making their daily commutes. And now, I mean, it's been, it's been at least since the Great Recession where that lot is completely empty. Now, part of that was probably some shifting in defense monies. Also, a lot of helicopters were built at that location. A lot of the work now has been shifted to other cities, Seattle and I think in Charleston, South Carolina. But it's still, after all these years, it's still sort of surprising. Of course, I haven't been by there in many months, but it was, you know, over the last 10 years was almost just an eye-opener every time you pass by there. And it's like, oh, wow, a lot of families affected by downturns in the economy, Melody.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you were talking about, I remember when I lived in Arizona and Phoenix, and Motorola, you know, had a huge plant in Phoenix. And again, yeah, they had the parking lot that was just, I mean, it was always, you know, even when you go back to the Bethlehem Steels of Pennsylvania, you know, you had these parking lots and then they become vacant and, you know, the areas around them begin to crumble and decline, and it's all too, you know, it's a sign, and we drive by and sometimes we think about it. I remember driving through Steelton, Pennsylvania, like in 2003 and 2004. I mean, and the rail line, and it's on the Steelton runs along the Susquehanna, I believe it was.
Yes.
And of course, there was the train that was, one side was the Susquehanna, the other side was the train, train tracks. And in the middle was nothing but factories. Nothing, the whole length, probably 5 miles maybe, Steelton, maybe 3 and 4, the whole length. Nothing but factories, and now they're all nothing but broken windows, empty. A couple of them have come back, but the majority of them are still vacant. And you can see, you know, how it has affected that area with the homes and everything. So
Trump used that as a site, by the way, in during the 2016 campaign.
He did?
To talk about the state of manufacturing.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah, it was. So let's see, what else do we have? We got about 4 minutes of the program. We're going to talk about,
oh, we should go down to that GDP number and the underlying weaknesses.
All right, go ahead.
Well, as listeners know, the government tomorrow will report the fastest quarterly growth on record after businesses reopened following shutdowns earlier in the year. But the headline number, GDP number, like the record contraction preceding it, hides key parts of the story. Data due tomorrow morning are forecast to show that the GDP in the U.S. surged by an annualized 32% in the third quarter, almost double the previous high. That figure will reflect activity switching back on across the country after pandemic fears and government stay-at-home orders literally ground the economy to a halt in April. The eye-popping number, though, the 32%, really fails to capture the fact that the pace of growth has moderated significantly since early in the aftermath of the shutdown. Overall economic activity will likely remain below its pre-pandemic level for some time to come, even though some sectors like retail and housing have made larger comebacks. In addition, the economy currently faces tough challenges, including a fresh surge of infections, rising long-term unemployment, and a lack of additional government stimulus. Well, here are some questions for Melody about
Uh-oh.
The report.
Uh-oh. Melody,
first, and you know all this, does this really mean GDP is fully recovered, 32%?
No, I don't think it does. There's reports out there that the third quarter rebound is still going to leave the U.S. economy size, what, about 4% below its pre-crisis peak. There's predictions out there from Barclays that tell us that we're not going to see a full recovery in the GDP until at least the first quarter of 2022. So, you know, no, I don't think we're going to be back at its pre-crisis peak, Dave.
Well, what's driving the increase anyway, would you say?
Well, there's reports out there that the resurgence in this is consumer spending. We're a consumer economy, personal consumption. That's estimated to jump after it plummeted in the prior period. Consumer spending accounts for about two-thirds of the GDP and, you know, is driven by spending on services like healthcare, travel, dining out. So all of these have been severely curbed in the past month. So, yeah, Americans are using their dollars elsewhere. And, you know, we can talk about this on Friday after the GDP comes out, and we'll have the real numbers of what the government gives us. So, folks, you need to tune in, but we'll be back also tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Bye-bye.